I'm digging down into the reality of life. And so this first segment, as in your bulletin there, we've been calling it Admitting Life is Not Working. Just coming to terms with, you know what, the way I've been doing it all along just hasn't really been working just yet. And we've been kind of struggling with that. And so I dedicated four sermons to kind of getting into that reality. Today is the last one of those first four. And up until now, we've been talking about kind of a sobering reality. And facing reality can be sobering. But we're going to talk about something that's hopeful this morning. And believe it or not, as great as hope sounds, going down that road is actually a road less traveled. It's something that a lot of people don't want to do. That going down this road is encountering a higher power beyond our hurts, and it can actually bring us to healing and to recovery. But it's something that a lot of people don't want to do. And it's because reality is sobering. So that's what we've been doing the last 3 weeks, is coming to terms with the reality that my life hasn't been working. So the first week, we talked about some of the roadblocks to going down the road of freedom. And, it's facing fear and failure. You may have gone down that road before and said, you know what, I'm done with that. I've tried. It hasn't worked. I'm not going down there again. Or this is just who I am. This is the way it's going to be, just buying into that reality. The second week, we talked about the reality of unresolved pain, that, you know, every day, every week, we experience some level of pain. And for many of us, we've never really fully dealt with the pain of last week or last year or 20 years ago or back when I was six or whatever, and we've just had this growing, unresolved pot of pain in our bellies, and just how the consequences of that, that we medicate it, that we motivate it make a workaholic, or we meditate on it as someone who just stews on things and it just explodes in anger or something like that. Just the reality of unresolved pain and what happens when we don't deal with it. Last week, we talked about living blinded. If we have unresolved pain, we go through life believing that things are fine the way they are, and that's denial. And how the God of this age, as Corinthians says, has blinded believers and non-believers to this reality. And so we've been working through admitting that life is not working, and I got to face stuff head on to deal with it. And so today, we're taking the next step of facing that reality. But up until now, as you can kind of see from this list, it's a little discouraging. There's kind of a negative spin on all this. But the other side of facing reality is actually very positive. Reality is sobering because of all of this, where I am and the coping mechanisms I've always bought into. But the other side of it is very hope-filled. Facing reality, I genuinely believe, is hope-filled because it's not all bad news. There's good things happening as well. The problem today is that our culture tells us that hope is whatever you define it to be. So for an example, if you've ever gone to something like an AA meeting or any kind of recovery program, the very first step is to acknowledge that you need a higher power to get out of the funk that you're in. In recent years, the challenge with that, though, is that higher power is defined by you. You define that higher power. So they say, basically, you have to believe in God, but God as you understand him. Not as God who has revealed himself to us. And so that's a big problem. If you define this higher power, it's just a function of who you already are. And that's why a lot of people never get out of the predicament they're in. It's because it's really ultimately their own power because they defined the higher power they seek. And that's not what we're about. And so pluralism, this picture is this idea of many ways to the same God, and you just define it however you want, and they all go to the same place, is rampant in our culture. And what we stand for as a church is not very popular because we say, no, it's not defined by you. Not all roads head to heaven, but God himself has revealed to us how we may be in relationship with him. And so as we talk about hope today, that there's a reality of hope, its hope is defined by him and not by me or not defined by you. And so we're going to go down that road. Unlike traditional AA or any other recovery program, Freedom Session defines God as is, defines God as he has revealed himself and not as I seek to define him. Jesus said himself that I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is through me that you may again encounter God, the one who knows you and has defined you and created you and has this awesome history or this awesome story for you to live. You may encounter him through me. And you can come to him on my terms, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so this morning, as we discover a little bit more of who Jesus is and the road that he has paid for us, it invites us to enter into pain, to bring our pain into light. And that is something that denial and the God of this age doesn't want us to do, because it's in doing so that healing comes. And so I've introduced this picture to you before of the journey that we're going on. I've taken this from Freedom Session, the program that I'm kind of taking a lot of this from. And what's so significant about this program is it confronts something that a lot of churches don't want to do. So let me explain it again. You know, we've been on a journey here, kind of just getting real. What's happening in my life? What am I doing to cope with the realities of my life? And today we're kind of at this peak here of acknowledging the hope, because that is also reality. Now, many of your journeys after maybe accepting Christ have gone from here and jumping to here. And you in the church, or maybe people putting expectations on you to now walk in freedom. You know Christ, and he can just heal everything. Just go. Yet you're trying to step along, and you've got all this baggage behind you, and just things aren't working, and you don't know why. It's because we've never journeyed in light of who Jesus is, journeyed down into our healing and bringing it to light so that he may heal it. And so where we're going in the next segment is going deep. And we can't do that until we believe that the reality of hope-filled life is available to us. And so this morning, we're going to encounter God, I trust, in a meaningful way so that we have great hope to go deep and bring to light the stuff that's been living in our cellar for years. And when we do that, when we bring it to light in the company of others, Jesus heals. It is there that there is healing. And so today, hopefully, you can walk away that with this great hope that I can be forever healed. Not even just recovered, but healed from where I've been. So that's where we're going. Where we want to start is that healing is found in a person, not a process. I believe in the program that we're kind of using to guide us here. But you know what? Freedom is not found in a process. It's not found in a program. It's found in a person. And so what I'm presenting to you over these next several weeks is a facilitator. It's a conduit through which you can go and encounter God in a meaningful way. But ultimately, it's the person of Jesus that brings healing to people. What we need to do is first admit that we are powerless. And to look at this, I want to look at Isaiah 53. If you have your Bible, turn there, please. If you don't, there's probably a Bible in the chair, underneath the chair in front of you. But we want to look at who this Jesus is. And the prophet Isaiah, it's a fairly well-known passage, puts before us this Jesus. And so we're going to read Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, to encounter who is this man. Who is this Savior that has come, and what do I need to do in light of that? Isaiah 53, he says there, verse 5 and 6, "But he, the Lord, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." If we read this passage carefully, we realize that in the reality of my hurt and the reality of where I live, I am powerless. I cannot dig myself out of the hole that I'm in, because I have made mistakes. People have made mistakes against me. I carry transgressions. I'm that dumb sheep that keeps wandering away thinking I can find something better than where my shepherd is guiding me. You and I, we have gone astray. As it says at the end, each of us has turned to our own way. And that's not just talking about my own will for my life, but my own way of dealing with my stuff, my hurt. I got this covered. I don't need to tell anybody about it. I can just bury it deep and keep dealing with it in that way. I can handle this. Yet we walk through this life completely blinded to the reality that I continue to hurt. And as a result, I continue to hurt people around me. I am powerless. I can't fix this. I can't heal myself on my own. It is only God's power revealed in Jesus and unleashed in the church through the Holy Spirit that healing may come. So this is a bit of an acknowledgement that in light of Jesus and who God is, I am powerless. I can't do it. And hopefully you can make that admission as well. Admit that you are powerless to overcome the reality of your life. The second thing we need to do is place your life into Christ. Place your life into Christ. You know, so often in the church, I worded this carefully. So often in the church we say, invite Jesus into your heart. You know, that's actually never found in Scripture. But sometimes it's a neat picture for kids and to kind of figure out what's going on when we come to Christ. But I've been challenged recently that, you know, we're like this person who's got all this stuff to do, that our lives are this big bucket and it's already full. And if I accept Christ now, I'm just going to add him to the pile. He's maybe a different sticky note with bigger writing on it, but it's just stuck on top of everything else. It's another thing on my to-do list, or maybe another thing on my to-be list. That's not what we're about. We don't add Christ to my life. I take all of my life, and I place it into his. And when I do that, my priorities change. I see myself in light of him. Rather than piling him onto me, I pile me onto him. And it is then that I start to see my life in proper perspective. The right kinds of things influence my thinking and my actions. He guides my decisions, and I know what to reject and what to accept. And so our challenge is to not accept Christ into my life, but I would say to place your life into his. Because you're powerless to do anything if you put all of you into him. Then healing comes. See, I believe that Jesus is sufficient for everything. He's sufficient for your hurts, the hurts done against you, and your future. But so often in the church, you're invited to invite Christ into your life and all that kind of stuff or whatever, but you never invite him into your pain. You know, this week when we went to a marriage seminar, Myrna and I, for training, for counseling. And so that we may counsel and guide pre-marriage and marriage couples better. And I've just been thinking through that and how guys, we're so good at compartmentalizing our lives. I can put everything in this closet and shut the door and go over here and work on this. Now, I know women are wired a little differently than that, but it's a great picture of how we often live our Christian life. All of this junk, all of that I've walked through and I continue to walk through, I'm going to put in that closet and close the door. Now, Jesus, come into my life over here. But I never invite him into my pain. But when I place all of my life into his life, there's no compartmentalization. I can't hide anything. I bring it all to the table and say, this is me. And I'm placing it on you because I'm powerless to deal with it. Can you deal with it? And so in finding healing in a person, I lay everything onto him. And so not only do I admit I'm powerless, but I place my life into Christ because only then can I experience healing. Then what you need to do is invite him into your pain. Not only invite him into your life, place your life on his, but invite him into the deepest, darkest areas. Because it is only then you can be healed from those things. He was pierced for your transgressions. He was crushed. He was punished. He carried your iniquity. All of it was laid on him. And so when you see that for what it is, it's sufficient. He carried all of it already on the cross. And he's so longing to get into that area of your life if you're willing to open it to him. So invite him into that. Invite him into that. Punishment that brought us peace was laid on him. By his wounds you are healed. It doesn't say hide your stuff and then you'll be healed. Or maybe even just forgiveness, but actually confession. Bringing it forward, bringing it to light that he can heal it. So this morning, you need to believe that not only did he pay the price for your sin, a very common thing we talk about in churches and we do at communion all the time, but you actually believe that he was sufficient. The cross was sufficient for your pain as well. The cross was sufficient not just for everybody else that you may talk to. Hey, you know, you go to someone and say, you just accept Christ. It was sufficient for you. But then we go back in our home and close the door. And I genuinely believe it was not sufficient for me. By his wounds, you are healed. All of you can be healed. Even you can be healed. Not just everybody else. Invite him into your pain. And if you do, in verse 5 it says, there is peace. There is peace. Punishment that brought peace to your life. Peace means shalom. You might have heard that before. Peace is actually being at rest with yourself. Looking in the mirror and being at peace. You know what? I accept that person. That is who God has created me to be and yet to fully realize. Being at peace with who I am in light of Christ. Sitting next to that person beside you and being at peace with that person because now you see them through a new light. They're not just someone who hurts you or who has some different ideas than you, but they are also someone who has been healed, who Christ's sacrifice has been sufficient for. And you stand together before Christ as hurting people. So you see yourself in new light, and you see that person beside you in a new light as well. So you become at peace with yourself, you become at peace with others, and you may be at peace with God. Shalom was laid on him, was made available through him. And then by him, you were healed. A few weeks ago, I talked about salvation. We use that word a lot in churches. You know, what does that mean? Salvation not only just means to be saved, but it means to be made whole, to be preserved, to be healed. By his wounds, you are made whole. You can be restored to that place. In a word, repentance. What is all of this? What is coming to a person and placing my hope in him is repentance. Just a kind of a cognitive lesson here. The word in Greek in the Bible is metanoeo, and it's actually a compound word. It has two parts to it. And what it is, meta is a couple different translations or meanings, but usually means after. And the next part is to think or to contemplate and to process. And so when you come to something in repentance, what you've done is you've considered what was. You've considered the thoughts and the actions and the realities of the past, and you've processed it. There's been a change, and in light of that, you're thinking about the future. So you're looking back and thinking through, and when you do that, it's bringing about a change of your mind, a change of your actions, a change of your perspectives. And so it's not just coming forward and saying, I'm guilty, and browbeating yourself, but what you've done is considered what was and said, it's not working. It's not working. It can be better than this. There is hope for this. And in light of that, there's a change of direction, a change in your life, a change in your perspective, and a hope for what could be. That is what it means to come to a person of Jesus. A significant part of this freedom session is confession, and we'll be going there. That might terrify you at this point, and probably rightfully so. But confession, through confession, is healing. This morning, we're going to have a taste of that. Just to relieve your fears, I call it communion. Communion is a time of confession before God, but it's also a time of proclamation that there is a hope here. There is a truth that I may lay my hopes on. And so we're going to just have a reflective time of communion. Some parameters to it this morning, though. By his wounds we are healed. If you may want to come and accept the reality that you may be healed, I want to invite you to look back. I want you to look back. Face the fear and the failures that have been holding you back. I want you to confront the hurt and the brokenness that continues to build in you and the coping mechanisms you've been using to try to numb yourself to that. The false view of the higher hope, that God is sufficient for everybody else but me. Look back. What do you need to address this morning as you come in repentance? I want you to come with a changed heart and mind in action. Remember the top of that graph? You now saw where we're going to go. We can't go down there if we haven't decided, I'm in. that I accept this hope. I have thought back, it's not working, and now I'm making a change of mind and heart and direction. I accept Christ as the person who can bring healing. And so this morning when you come, if you'd like to come to communion, you are declaring, you are confessing, you are proclaiming that's where you want to go. Now fear is okay, uncertainty is okay, that's part of the journey. And we're going to go step by step. But this morning, communion represents your confession to one another and your proclamation before God that I want to go down the journey of healing. We may fall, but that's okay. We're going to fall every day. By the grace of God, we may stand up. Jesus brought this great remembrance time of communion for us to not only remember the reality of the cross, but to come in repentance. Come in repentance and say, it hasn't been working, and now I declare what you have done, your wounds, to be my means of healing. And so we're going to do that together. Ian and Jen are going to come and lead us some music. This is a time for you to sing if you'd like. It's a time for you just to sit and reflect. It's a time for you to maybe sit with somebody and share, if somebody you trust. Cletus and Doris are kind of on for this week as our prayer team. Maybe you'd like to, someone to pray with. Maybe you want to come and accept communion as a couple. Maybe this is something that you can do as a couple to come together and say, hey, this is by the grace of God we may heal our relationship or take a great step forward in our relationship. Maybe you want to come with a friend or your parent want to come with a child or maybe just you can come. But it's a proclamation that I choose to go down the road of healing and freedom this morning and in the coming weeks. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread and said, this is my body, which was given for you. And he took it and he broke it and made available to those who were with him. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Do this as often as you will. And Paul picks up on this and says, proclaim the death of Jesus through this action until he returns. So this morning we're declaring the death, the resurrection, and the ascension, and the coming of the Spirit so that we may be healed. Pastor Mike is going to come and help. We will be on either side. As you feel ready, please come and break off a piece of bread and dip it in the cup. And again, you may come together. You may take it and go sit down, stand at the back, whatever you would like to do. But remember, this is your proclamation. This is your action of getting out of the seats and saying, I'm wanting to go down the road of freedom. Life is not working. You are my hope. And in you, I desire to be healed. Come as you are ready. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity you have created for us to not only remember, but to actively get up and proclaim that this applies to me. That I stand as I am before you guilty of the choices that I have made and continue to make. And deeply hurt by the choices I've made and then the choices of others have made against me. But you have come, and by your wounds, coming into time and space and assuming unto you a human form, walking the road to the cross and being pierced for me, being crushed for me, taking upon yourself the things that I have done so that by your wounds I may be healed, not only free from hearing that judgment of guilt, but I may be healed, restored, made whole, saved. Father, thank you for your word and that you have laid out this awesome story of redemption so that I may learn how to walk in freedom. Thank you this morning for just this time, it's a quick time, that we can get out of our seat and proclaim that I'm on that journey, that he was crushed for me, that what he has done for all mankind, I apply to myself by laying my life into the life of Christ. Father, confession and action and decision is hard to do because of the roadblocks that we face. Fear, And I've done this before, and it's just going to fail yet again. But Father, we not only proclaim the reality of my life, we proclaim the reality of hope, that you have overcome the world, that you are God incarnate through Jesus, walked the road to the cross, and as you ascended, you've instilled in believers your very presence, and that is the Holy Spirit. And by his power, we may walk the road of freedom. And so this morning, we proclaim that. Thank you for this time of remembrance. Father, it's not only a time of remembrance, but maybe for some, it was the decision. It was a time to say, yes, I now accept this as my reality of my life. And for those who have may have done that this morning, God, I pray that they have an overwhelming sense of freedom and hope this morning. Thank you that we may do that. Guide us forward as we now explore the depths of our pain and invite you into it. It is a scary thing. It is abnormal in our time. But we want to bring to light truth so that you may heal it, and hurt so that you may heal it. So thank you for this time and these people. Guide us here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to continue on a little bit in your bulletin there. If you've been able to walk this time of repentance, again, it is a road less traveled. It is not a common thing. It is not a popular thing. It is not something that people choose to be a part of. But it is where hope is. What can change is how you think differently about your life now. That what has been is covered, and what could be is now lit by the light of Christ. How you view yourself and how you relate to others can be different. Life does not have to be the same. And so as we go forward, talking about hope is bringing things to light. And we're going to look there at 1 John as we close here in the next few minutes. If you turn your Bibles to 1 John. That we need to now to walk in light of truth. And that's where we're going. And the next few weeks may be tough, but what we're doing is bringing to light things that we've always kept in the dark. Just a quick story on how this has become powerful for me, a picture for me. When we were living in Kenya, a friend called me up and said, hey, do you want to climb Mount Kilimanjaro? And I thought, well, how hard can that be? So I said, sure. And so we planned for a year, this trip together. And when we started, it's about a 6-day trip. It's 4 days up, 4.5 days up, and 1.5 days down. All you have to do is roll, and you get down. And so we planned this trip, and we started, and the mountain threw the worst weather at us. It couldn't have been worse. It rained for the first 3 days on the bottom part of the mountain, and we got near the summit, it started to snow. And it was just hideous. We climbed for the 3 days. The last day, the summit day, is the hardest. What you do is you get up, you climb all the way to the summit camp. That's a whole day climb. You lay there for about 3 hours, and about 11 o'clock at night, you get up and you start for the summit. And you climb all night. So from 11 o'clock, hoping to get to the summit by 6 for the sunrise. And then after that, you walk around the summit, take pictures, and then you climb down to the summit camp, pack up, you climb down yet again to another camp. So you climb for about 36 hours straight. It was a very painful experience. I got a picture here just to show what the weather looked like. This is me after daybreak, but we had wicked winds, wet snow. It formed ice on us, and it was just freezing. But that summit climb, when we got up at 11 o'clock, you can see I had a light on my head, and we started to climb, and we felt good. But within a few hours, exhaustion takes in. You're about 19,000 feet, so you can't breathe. And fatigue sets in, and despair starts to set in, that I can't do this. And so what we would do is we'd walk about 10 or 15 feet and rest. And every time I rested, I had to lean over on my poles because I couldn't hold myself up anymore. And then when our guide started to walk again, it took every ounce of strength to take that next step. I have never been to a place of absolute exhaustion where I could have laid over and died. I really didn't care. It was that painful. But we had people with us, and you just kind of start taking one step at a time. Within about 3 hours, my headlight went out. It was pitch black, and my light went out. And I had extra batteries, but I was too tired to get them. But I kept walking, and the only way that I could see is I could see the footprints or the feet of the person in front of me, because his headlamp was working. And so I climbed for about 5 hours to the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro, walking, watching the feet of the one ahead of me whose lamp was working. And for me, ever since that day, it has been a vivid picture of what it means to follow Christ. That so often my light is gone. The hurt and the reality of my life and the despair and all the different factors in my life causes my light to go out and I'm in the dark. But the beauty of the body of Christ is that we're not walking alone. We don't have to lay over and die. What we can do, though, is look at the feet of the person in front of us, who's ultimately we're all watching the feet of Christ. But as we journey together, there is this tiny little patch in front of us showing us where the next step is. That's all I could see. But I knew where the next step was. And when I took that step, I knew where the next step was. And I took that step. And one by one, we got to the summit. The highest point on the whole continent of Africa is this picture. And so me and my friends took a picture with the Canada flag, and it was just a great experience for us. But we got there a step at a time, encouraging one another, and for me, watching the light of my guide. As we go forward, light is so important. You may feel in the dark, but as you bring things to light, the next step comes. The next step is revealed. And in John, we see just a little bit of what that looks like. So going forward, let's just read 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. John says, "This is the message we have heard from him, and we declare to you that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all our sin." As we go forward, if you've been able to proclaim, this is the journey I want to go on, some challenges, that we need to walk honestly. We need to walk honestly. We need to bring things to light. You need to bring your pain, your hurt, your shame, your regret to light. Now, we're not going to have a big confession time with 60 people, but there's going to be a means through which you can bring your stuff to light, because God is light. And if you want him to be your healer, wherever he is, there is no darkness. There cannot be a dark area of your life if you want him to be the person who leads you to healing. And when you do that, you also may have fellowship with other people. And that may be scary for you. But other healing people become great fellowship for you as you go through the healing process. We as a team made the summit because we were all hurting. At one point, one of our team members just about quit, and we encouraged her to keep going. Just at one point, I said, "I'm done." The other guy said, "No, keep going." And we spurred one another on because there was this idea that we're on the same journey. And this morning, we all came to this time equal. We're all on the same journey. And so if we see God for who he is and who we are in light of him, we stand equal. And together, in fellowship, we walk towards light. So we need to walk honestly. If you show up here this morning, Sunday morning, with this fake facade that I've got it together, hopefully this won't be a very comfortable place for you, because we're all broken people walking the road to freedom. So walk honestly. Together we're going to walk humbly. We walk humbly. Verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." Humbly, I look at that person. I am in no judgment of them, just as you are in no judgment of me, because we walk together. So we treat each other with a sense of expectation and humility, because I am in no better than you, and you are no better than me or anyone else. We won't think too highly of ourselves, overlooking sin and hurt and so on, but seeing that we are just followers of Jesus and walking together with each other. We won't think too lowly of other people around us. We will see their sin and their hurting and their healing process for what it is, and then we will extend grace to them, forgiveness to them, because we're all walking together. So we will walk humbly, walking expectantly. I hope that you have come this morning and have come to the table with expectation. God isn't deciding on whether he will heal you if you come. He will, if you come on his terms. So walk expectantly. The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin, saves us, makes whole, heals. So as we go forward in the coming weeks and go deep, come with this sense of this attitude. Walking honestly, walking humbly, but together we're going to walk expectantly that we will be healed. This is a road less traveled. This is not a road most people are willing to go, nor even know how to go. But I trust this morning you have made a decision that that's the way I'm going, because Jesus has promised life and life to the full, and I'm claiming that for myself. So take Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, Holy Spirit, the word of truth that you hold in your hand seriously. Walk towards your pain. Don't run from it. Invite Jesus into your pain. Don't hide it from him. Join others towards healing. Don't reject them. We are chosen to walk this road together. And so where we're going here this next couple weeks, the next section is confronting what's hidden. And so let's pray that we'll be able to do that together in the next few weeks. Let's pray. Father, thank you again that you haven't just promised to rescue us from sin, but you have promised to save us from sin. That we not only have heard the declaration that you are not guilty, you stand right before me because of the blood of Christ. And now, today, in this lifetime, you may be healed, made whole. You can walk the road of freedom. You can walk the road of life and life to the full. You can experience the great joy of genuine relationship with God and genuine relationship with other people. And become a means of healing for other people because you yourself have walked that road. That is life and life to the full. It is a constant journey that we will be on until you bring us home. And God, I pray that for each one here who's still struggling, do I want to go down this? This is too scary. I pray this morning, in some sense, they have faced the reality that hope exists, a hope beyond our power, and a hope beyond our fear and our failures and my hurt and my coping mechanisms. Hope exists. And today, I choose to go down that road. I'm committing myself to these next few weeks of confronting what's hidden and bringing to light, because you are in the light. And by the blood of Christ, I may be healed. What a powerful message. It is a road less traveled. God, give us the strength and the courage to do it, and not alone, but together. Thank you that we stand right before you, and we stand even before you. May you empower us as a people to extend grace and forgiveness and understanding and patience to one another as we figure this out, as we walk this road. There'll be lots of bumps down the road, Father. I just pray that you would guide us, give us perseverance, and protect us. We are a part of a spiritual battle. The God of this age wants to blind us, and he will not let us go easily. And so, God, I just pray for your protection on these people. There'll be lots of forces in their life and in their work and in their home that may be confronting them right now, saying, don't do it. Don't go there. I just pray your protection, that you would guide us forward as a people. And God, as our broken community, broken marriages and broken families and broken jobs and homes and all these things would see us as a place of light. And God, you would use us as a means of healing for our community. Thank you again for this time and the privilege of looking into your word and encountering you through the table. Be with us as we go from here. I pray that this is a new week. We have a new perspective on life. I am getting healed. And may we just have a great week of joy, not adding you to our life, but placing all of our life into you and letting you carry us through. What hope that is. So thank you, God. Be honored and glorified as we close. And guide us forward, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.